Recording is on.
Hi all, it's Kim here, and we're going to get started in just a second. First, here's a link to the agenda for today. And I just want to make sure I have the latest version of the slide deck before starting. Thank you, Heather. I see it.
I sent it to the list, and I can also drop it into the chat or whatever
you want. I got it here. Yeah, thank you.
Okay, cool. It should be publicly accessible to everyone because our previous versions were behind our chair firewall.
Great. Okay, I think I'm going to try sharing the screen today. So we'll try it and see what happens. And hopefully, I think Jitsi will stand up to it. So let's go ahead and get started today. We're having a special edition, and it's the TPAC time of year, which for W3C is a good opportunity to learn what's going on in the broader W3C community. So we've opened this one up, or, you know, they're always open to the public, but this one is a special edition focusing on, you know, CCG, the group, what we've been doing this year and beyond, and then what we plan to be with our new chairs, what we're working on in the future. So Heather and Wayne will be driving most of that sort of in the spirit of, you know, they're taking over and really driving the CCG to new areas. So I'm very excited to get to that. So we're going to go light on the usual boilerplate stuff, but I will start with the boilerplate stuff that we do have for today, which will have a IP note, call notes, scribe selection, and then we'll turn over for the presentation and have an opportunity at the end for community feedback and discussion. Okay. Can everyone hear me? I see a crickets chirping.
I can hear you fine.
Okay, great. And Mike, you might want to check your audio. Or yeah, he won't hear that, so never mind. Okay, IP note. Anyone can participate in these calls. However, all substantive contributors to any CCG work items must be members of the CCG with full IPR agreement signed. We have a link here to actually join the W3C CCG group. I pasted that in the IRC. You'll need to ensure you have a W3 account first, which you can do at this location. Again, it's free just to get that account. And to read the text of the W3C Community Contributor License Agreement, that's available at this location. Call notes. These minutes and an audio recording of everything said on this call are archived at our GitHub repo in the following location. We use IRC to cue speakers during the call as well as to take minutes And in the meeting invite, you will see the IRC link that we use. Note that the Jitsi chat is mirroring that, so you don't have to be in both. It's just an easier way to for some to see it. In IRC or chat, type Q plus, that's the letter Q, symbol plus, no space, to add yourself to the queue. And you can add yourself an optional reminder, Q plus, to mention something, and that's Q plus as before, space, the word to, T-O, and then whatever you want to say. And the word to is required if you're using it that way. If you're not on IRC, simply ask to be put on the queue and
hey, can everyone hear me?
I can hear you, Wayne. Can you hear me?
Yeah. So I think Kim might have, I can hear you just fine, Heather.
All right.
So so just continuing on, Heather, would you like to continue or I could?
Kim said she just texted that she lost power. I'll go ahead and take... I'll go ahead and jump on this. So let's see. Kim was, let me just see where we were picking up. Okay, so she was talking about the IPR agreements. Okay, great. So basically you need to be able to, sign the IPR agreements for any system.
Hi. I'm back.
Okay, great. Back. We didn't really start anything, so just pick up where you left off.
Okay, great. Thank you. Maybe while I was gone, some volunteered.
Kim, it's a little choppy.
Right.
I believe that Kim was asking for a volunteer for a scribe. Would anyone like to scribe as we wait for Kim to stabilize her tethering? Okay, so we can work through the scribe list.
Yeah, I was just pulling the scribe. Do you want to do that, Wayne?
Feel free to. I don't have it up right now.
Okay, I'm just waiting for it to load. Okay, let's see. Scribes. All right, top of the list is Christopher Allen. Are you here, Christopher Allen? Looks like you're in the IRC. Okay, not on the audio. Moses, are you here? Also, if anyone would like to volunteer to scribe, please feel free to volunteer. Drummond Reed, do we have Drummond here?
Am I back now?
Yes, you're back, Kim. We're just going through the scribe list.
Okay, I can take over. So I heard you were at Drummond.
That's correct.
Man, I was really hoping through that excruciating process that...
Oh, we can still do it. We're still in the middle. Brent, are you saying that you would scribe on the in the chat?
Oh, Brent, or our Brent is on the queue, just so you know.
I think Brent said that. Ryan Grant? Okay, yeah. Do we want to make an executive decision and switch over to Zoom? Or is it just we're having issues with Kim's stuff here? I just want Kim, since she keeps getting booted off.
Okay, so I'm back now, but if this happens again, just like, I don't know what's happening. So we were at Drummond and he did not volunteer. So Adam Lemon, we could really use volunteer right now to get through this. Please. Let's see.
I think that, Brent volunteered and possibly, I don't know, Ryan Grant was on the queue.
Okay. Oh, Ryan, are you volunteering to scribe? Okay, people are saying no audio, but...
Kim, I'm going to go ahead and grab a Zoom for us. So if you want to finish this, I will...
That will be much better.
Just give me a minute to get that stuff going on there. Of course it's when Manu is not available to check the back channel to see what's happening.
I'm just pinging everyone to say we're working on a Zoom connection. Okay, while that's happening, okay, any volunteers for Scribe yet? Let's see, we worked our way through, Adam Lemon. Oh, Erica is on the queue. Erica? Erica, are you speaking?
I think Erica might be one of the affected peoples with respect to audio issues.
Okay. Okay. No, she doesn't have audio.
Do we have folks calling in, or is everyone able to use the Zoom link?
Oh, there's a Zoom link now?
I'm just getting it up and going.
Okay. Yeah, so everyone, I mentioned on IRC, we are working on a Zoom link. Oh, we have Brent scribing. Thanks, Brent. And Heather has included a link. So, we will, at the end of the sentence, switch over to Zoom. And Brent, could you continue scribing in this IRC channel? We'll keep this going. We'll keep the IRC channel going and we'll use it for maintaining the queue, but otherwise we'll switch over to Zoom. So we will be at this Zoom link I'm pasting in and IRC.
Yeah, just give me a moment. I accidentally made you guys all go in the waiting room.
Sorry, the licking is my dog, of course. So yes, this is a special TPAC edition of the W3C Credentials Community Group. And I'm been a chair for a few years now. And we just had an election this year. We've been joined by some new chairs, Wayne Chang and Heather Vescent. They're going to be leading the bulk of today's presentation to talk about their exciting ideas and plans that they've already started implementing for the future of CCG. So in the agenda, we'll talk about our new chairs, have a quick introduction to them. We'll give an overview of the Credentials Community Group, what we've been focusing on and work items historically. We'll talk about what we've accomplished this past year specifically, and talk about the 2020 strategic initiatives. And then we'll turn over to Wayne, who will talk about specific projects and work items and next steps for how to engage with the CCG. So this is, target for really everyone. We're hoping people who are new to the CCG will get an opportunity to get up to speed on what we're doing. Other groups throughout W3C can learn how to work with us and how we can work with you. So I think with that, I'll turn over to Heather.
Sure. Yeah. So we did this presentation for TPAC, and as we were going through it, I realized there's a lot of we use a lot of shorthand and jargon. So I wanted to be able to just have this terminology slide that describes all the different things that we talk about, in case you're not familiar with it. So most of our regular folks are familiar, and so I don't think we need to go through that. Kim, are you gonna drive here? Since you're screen sharing?
Yeah, I realize I can't look at the, I'm not sure I can confidently look at the queue while doing this. Can I turn over, do you mind screen sharing? And
yeah, no, that's fine. Let me just, I'm happy. Why don't you let me,
why don't you let
screen share. Oh, you know what? Hold on. I have to let folks in the room. And if I do that, like if I do a screen share, Zoom takes away the participant list.
Right. Wayne,
can you screen share and drive?
Yeah, of course. I'll screen share.
Yeah, sorry about that. People are going to be coming late, and I have to unfortunately manually let everyone in because I just put it together so quickly.
Can we see everything?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yes. Actually, Wayne, why don't you just go to slide 4 and you can introduce yourself.
Okay, sure. So my name is Wayne Chang. I'm a co-chair here at the W3C Credentials Community Group, excuse me. I'm the CEO and founder of Spruce Systems, Inc. We're a small software company working on Rust implementations of a lot of the specs here. I used to be a former lead at Consensus Identity, and during my free time, I volunteer for civic duties. My Twitter is @Wicked.
Cool. Okay. And I'm Heather Vessant. Most of you guys in the CCG already know me. I am the CEO of my own strategic intelligence consultancy, and I have a master's of science in strategic foresight. So I'm actually a trained professional futurist. I'm also a writer. I'm a really prolific writer. I wrote The Guide to Self-Sovereign Identity and several other books. One called The Secret of Spies and Espionage is coming out in a few weeks. And I have also done a lot of research, made films, etc. And I'm on Twitter as Heather Vessant. Can we go to the next slide, please? So we wanted to talk about the mission of the Credentials Community Group, which has been the mission that was kind of put together by the previous chairs. And the original mission, which was to explore the creation, storage, presentation, verification, and user control of credentials. This group has really become a group where we can incubate a lot of different ideas, and it has infrastructure that allows folks to support the different types of activities that are related to verifiable credentials and decentralized identifiers.
Can I suck the water,
Helen? If you're not speaking, can we, let's just mute yourself. I'm gonna just mute folks. If you're not speaking, just mute. Okay, great. The purpose of us is to draft and incubate specifications for further standardization and to prototype the testing reference implementations. And we're looking for solutions that include both self-sovereign identity, presentation proofs of the bearer, data minimization, and we're exploring centralized, federated, and decentralized registry and identity systems. So next slide, please. We have one of the most active memberships at the W3C with over 385 members. We have three task forces. One of those task forces is a combination with another organization. And the industries that participate in us come from a wide variety of organizationals, including education, supply chain, publishing, security, government, technology, cryptocurrency, blockchain, storage, and standards. We have a really active mailing list discussion, and our average weekly attendance is between 25 and 40. Today, we've got about 30. And for some of the more popular sessions, especially when we were the What's in a Wallet and some of our sessions early last month, we were over 50, almost into 60. So we've been really trying to involve a lot of different participants to present and use this the Credentials Community Group as a forum for sharing information. A couple weeks ago, I submitted a survey to the group asking, why do people participate? And these were some of the responses, which I actually really liked a lot. The three C's: context, candidness, and community. Participating in the CCG, you get a broad view of the ecosystem. We're really trying to bring together a bunch of different groups and a bunch of different perspectives. There's been a push to move beyond verifiable credentials and decentralized identifiers to help people understand other things. And generally, people learn new things here. And one of the things I've tried to do as I've become a chair is to really bring in a different type of group of presenters to help cross-pollinate and do introductions between these other groups and our existing community so that we can create better, more robust technology. Next, okay, so the year in review. So within the last year, and this includes a lot of work that was done by the previous chairs, as well as the new chairs, we have really worked to clarify and improve the credential community group processes. We've had an increase in the task forces. We have upgraded to use Jitsi, although it's a little embarrassing to be talking about Jitsi today when we had such a big fail on it and had to fall back to using Zoom. The Decentralized Identifier Working Group was launched in the fall of 2019, which was right after the last TPAC. So that was a lot of work that was done by the previous chairs and a lot of the folks involved with that. But we still wanted to note that here, that is something that this group has done. We are also now hosting the Verifiable Credentials Maintenance Working Group, and we've created a process for that. And there are 35 work items in total. Wayne's going to go into details about that in a moment. So next slide. I want to just kind of drill down into some of the year in review things to kind of give a little bit more context around why these are so important. And the first one was the simplified processes and elections. So the thing that's the most important to realize is that the Credentials Community Group is a community group. It's not a working group. And so as a community group, we are responsible for our processes, and we have to follow certain W3C processes, but it's not as strong as the official working groups. And we also don't have the same kind of support as the working groups do. So one of the things that has been happening in the last year is documenting and clarifying our processes, which included a process for the election. Previously, these processes were undocumented or underdocumented, And one of those processes is what the formal requirements were for a work item. This created a barrier to entry, a barrier for folks to be able to know what was needed for them to have an actual working item. Now, Kim has worked really closely on a lot of these processes, clarifying them, and also putting a automagic structure in place so it's really easy for someone to know what is required to create a work item, and then one click on GitHub to create that work item. We have also drafted specification and reporting tools, report tools that will help improve accessibility for non-technical contributors. One of the things that's very important to the current chairs is increasing diversity and accessibility of participation in the community group. And to do that, we have tried to become more clear about our documentation, become clear about the processes, make the processes easier, and also make it possible for participants to contribute in a valuable way without having to have to do everything on GitHub. One thing I want to mention here too is the election. This was the election that happened in June was the first election that happened in the CCG. And so part of the documentation of the credentials community group processes was to document the process of having an election and then actually holding that election. Okay, why did we do all of this? Kim's time as chair has been primarily in making these processes transparent and make the community more sustainable. We're trying to get all of our ducks in a row here so that we can spend less time on the operations of the community group and also create strong, robust processes and operations that can be used in other community groups or other places across the W3C or even in conjunction with some of these joint task forces or joint projects that we and the CCG are doing with other groups in the same industry. And I think that's all I've got to say on this. So we can go to the next slide, Wayne. Thanks. So the task forces, we've got three task forces happening right now. The first one is the educational, the verifiable credentials for education. And that really is looking at using verifiable credentials with the existing data standards in the US and internationally. So the idea is like, what are the standards for transcripts and how can you have different organizations use verifiable credentials for sharing these education credentials. And it's been looking at surveying the landscape, and they're looking to deliver guidelines, best practices, and prototypes. And Kim has been really instrumental in driving and managing that group. There's the DID resolution group, and that really focuses on addressing problems around the next layer of concerns by the DID working group. So how do we achieve DID resolution interoperability across multiple systems? So if we have multiple DID methods and different systems are using and different technologies are using different DID methods, then we need to make sure that they can interop between each other. And then the last one we have is the secure data storage. And this is a task force that is co-hosted with DIF, the Decentralized Identifier Foundation. And really what this is to unify separate standardization efforts. We all know the challenges that lots of people have different ideas on how to build different types of technology. And rather than have these different groups go and try to figure out their own standards and separate groups, we want to encourage, and with the CCG kind of help have like the big tent where we can have these conversations to and provide some of the infrastructure to standardize these separate efforts. And so this was something that we are jointly running with between DIF and the CCG. Okay, next slide. So Wayne, this one's over to you.
Yeah, great. So even though we're on Zoom now, we have been running pretty successful trials of Jitsi over the past few weeks. New issues as they crop up, such as accessibility for certain browsers or systems, definitely will address that, but it's definitely a process. The thinking here was that, do we want to use a proprietary conferencing solution, or do we want something more open? And just talking to a bunch of community members, there were some concerns about going with the proprietary system. At the end of the day, we do need to run meetings and have a good experience for community members, because that's the job of running the community, to provide those things. But also, whenever possible, we like to just understand what everyone's concerns are, what they value, and if that's openness and accessibility. You know, those were some of the prerogatives, including having a good system for notes, as is very helpful for people who can't make the meeting all the time, being able to write those up and publish those. So effectively, Manu from Digital Bazaar actually did a lot of the heavy lifting here in terms of setting up a Jitsi system, so we're grateful for that. And he has been on the support line, playing support to help triage these issues. But you know, it feels like we're very, very close to a stable state now, and it's something that we think that it could work as a good meeting model going forward, especially because we have things that you can't do with some proprietary video solutions, such as being able to pipe over IRC messages to the Jitsi chat, having a history and using the queuing system and note system that a lot of people are accustomed to. And at the same time, allowing things like screen sharing and global access. One of our ambitions for this year is to start some APAC, Asia Pacific meetings, and some countries can access systems like Zoom, for example. So there are a lot of trade-offs and considerations. But by throwing more RAM and CPU at the problem, as is modern engineering, we were able to support over 50 simultaneous participants with HD videos and presentations. So we're pretty happy about that. Looking forward to addressing those issues that we encountered today. But it is a process, and the last system lasted over 10 years. So if we can get it to a stable state, we could get a lot of value out of it. But of course, we want to listen to the community and make a decision, because if reliability is paramount to other concerns, then it could be appropriate to reconsider. But you know, we hope that we continue this discussion in the community.
Great. Thanks, Wayne. Yeah. And I think you just want to point out that, like, one of the things that, if you can go back one slide for a moment, Wayne, is that this Jitsi infrastructure is kind of one of the processes that we're also looking at possibly making available to other groups at the W3C or in DIF. And so a lot of the work that Wayne and Manu has done, Wayne has done a ton of heavy lifting among the chairs to get this up and going. And there's not an inconsequential amount of rewiring that is required to make it run smoothly. So just bear with us as we kind of move forward. So great. So we can move now. Forward now, Wayne. Great. Okay, so I want to go through the strategic initiatives. I am a futurist and a strategist. And a few years ago, or I guess about a year ago, I came across this this letter from Sir Tim Berners-Lee in March 2019, where he talked about some of the unintended consequences of the early web. And I had been thinking about this for a while, and I was very excited to see it. The misuse. So a lot of us who built the very early web, and my first interaction with W3C was in 1996 with the VRML working group. We had a different vision. We wanted it to be this amazing place, and it was this amazing place. And then it went a lot of other directions. And so I really appreciated this reflection of where the web has gone today and how it has kind of moved from where our original vision was, which people using deliberate malicious intent for state-sponsored hacking, the system ad-based revenue model, that system design creates perverse incentives. And this last one, as a futurist, negative unintended consequences, is something that I think about quite a bit. And it's actually one of the reasons why I personally am involved in W3C. If we move to the next slide, how do you address unintended consequences? And so the first two bullet points are from Lee's letter, talking about a little additional information about these unintended negative consequences, which is simplistic narratives risk exhausting our energy as we chase the symptoms of these problems instead of focusing on the root causes. And this category causes for research to understand existing systems and models possible, which ones are possible new ones or tweak those we already have. Now, this is coming from a systems approach. It's trying to understand the technology or the W3C or the things that we're trying to do all together in a larger, broader context. And as a futurist, I am a systems thinker. Now, I also think about this in terms of bias. Bias has a negative affiliation, but I think we should try to put that negativity aside because bias allows us to be streamlined and focused as well. But if we look at something only from one streamlined and focused perspective, we have to realize that we have blocked out a lot of other things. And so how do you reduce bias in a system? You have to have people with different viewpoints at the table that are empowered to contribute and participate and share their views to help build more robust technology to potentially, I hate the term future-proof, but to potentially future-proof against some of these unintended negative consequences. Because there, technologists are very focused on making functional technology that solves a technology problem. And technologists do a great job of this, but at the same time, they're not focused on some of the other things like business models or how ad revenue could, you know, turn technology into a surveillance machine, et cetera, et cetera. So we need to be able to include diverse perspectives so that we can potentially reduce unintended consequences in the future. Next slide. So our 2020 strategic initiatives, and this comes from all three of the chairs. We want to focus on diversity and inclusion, forging alliances, cross-pollination, and optimizing operations. The next slide. So diversity. So as I kind of like teased a little bit in the earlier slides, is it's not just technologists. I have worked in tech since 1996. I don't write code, but I understand what technology does. So we want to increase the diversity of the CCG to be inclusive and welcoming to folks who aren't from a technology background. We want to increase Asia Pacific calls. Wayne in particular is driving this initiative in increasing the perspective and the concerns from folks that are not from a Western or US, Canada, European centric perspective. We want to support cross-pollination to increase innovation, awareness, and provocation to help us think about things differently, to try to poke holes in the walls that we've built that we think we understand so completely. We have drafted a diversity and inclusion strategic plan in progress. In the process of doing the research for that, I've personally learned the importance of making sure you have an inclusive community prior to going and bringing a lot more diverse people into your community. So we're taking a little bit of a step back to have some inclusion improvements so we don't have this cycle that I think a bunch of us have seen happen or even potentially experienced where we bring diverse participants into a community or into our group. They work for a little while, but in the end, they end up not actually being able to make much impact because they are not truly inclusive in the system, and then they end up and they leave, and then we say, where's our diverse people? So the reason, the way that I have learned in my recent research in diversity and inclusion is that we can improve inclusion. And we are adding some new work item requirements to foster that participation. Okay, next slide. Sorry, I just noticed the time, so I'm gonna try to speed things up. So we have started some inclusion guidelines. And so we've done that with speaking reminders. We have these great social rules to kind of help have an inclusive environment. And we have started doing some non-technical work items, which have had great response, some writing synthesis writing research synthesis, as well as meeting care and feeding. Those are two work items that I have personally asked for volunteers on, and I've had some really great volunteers go for that. So we're trying to include increase more inclusion. Next slide. So provocative presentations. I really walk about in a lot of different identity communities in the world. So I try to bring some very interesting presentations that will provoke some of the thinking of folks in the community. Most recently was Dave Birch, and he did the 4 W's, hard cases that test digital identity concepts. But you can see some of the other titles of some of the more recent presentations that include both technical discussions and introducing new technical concepts, but as well, this one down here, 11 presenters answering our question, what's in a wallet? We had a suggestion for a universal wallet, and not everyone thought, like, agreed with everything in that. And we saw that as an opportunity to provide a platform for our community, for people in our community and beyond our community, to answer the question, what's in a wallet? Because at the end of the day, we are all creating this together, and we all have different perspectives, and we need to, we will build stronger, more robust technology if we consider these diverse perspectives. Next slide. Cross-pollination. We're really just trying to collaborate with different groups in the industry. We had diversity, we had awareness with the different groups. DIF is Decentralized Identity Foundation, Trust Over IP Foundation, the Digital Identity Association of Canada, Women in Identity, and ID 2020. These are kind of groups. Some of them know about us. Some of them we know about us. We wanted to just have there be more awareness for potential collaboration. The CCG is collaborating with DIF on that one task force. CCG is also partnering or supporting the Silicon Valley Innovation Program with their design contest. And we joined up with Decentralized Identity Foundation to support the design contest support. And then we also have the CCG and IEEE for the Verifiable Credentials Task Force partnering with a couple of other organizations so that we have ongoing cross-pollination. Okay, next slide. Operations optimization. We've talked about a bunch of these things already, but basically it's that last bullet, giving ourselves more runway to address the future so that we're not constantly every week, like, dealing with the care and feeding of the community every week. There's a lot of stuff that happens behind the scenes, but that the chairs take care of. And so we're trying to automate these systems. We're trying to involve volunteers. We're trying to train folks for minutes. And so that we can start thinking about and focusing on some of the more long-term activities we want to do. Okay, I think over to you, Wayne.
Great, thanks so much. So just wanted to give an overview of work items, the process, and everything like that. But I think right now is a good moment to just use it as an opportunity to thank all the work item owners, contributors, and participants in the discussions we have on the mailing list and others. Basically, you're the most important part of this. Anything we as chairs do is in support to remove blockers and enable this kind of work. Whether it's licensing process, IPR, making up meeting spaces, resolving personal conflicts, et cetera. We see this as, you know, tertiary work to enable the true productions of this. And those are the discussions and work items in the work group. Because as you'll see, you know, in the process, without you, there's literally no credentials community group. The only long-term mark of our existence is these work items that become reports to the broader community. So without anyone making those or working on those, there's literally nothing. So I won't go specifically to, you know, who's been working on what, but the contributions are extremely self-evident across the mailing list, across GitHub repositories, across who's commenting and raising important questions on these community calls. So click around and see who's adding contributions. You'll see a GitHub link shortly. And my ask for you, if there's something that we can do for you as chairs to increase your engagement or enjoyment on work items or in discussions, please, please, please reach out. Even if you think we don't care and it's small, we actually care a lot, whether they're process items,
personal conflicts you might have, industry conflicts, or even topics that you want to see on upcoming calls. So CCG work items come in two types: ongoing things that continue, such as registries and task forces. There's not really a destination necessarily other than, you know, the process itself of maintaining a registry. Perhaps they can be relocated. This past year, we had the DID spec registry relocate to the DID working group at W3C. Task forces continue to make headway on their topics until everyone's tired out about it, and that hasn't happened yet. So we're very optimistic about all those members and those meetings continuing with respect to education, with respect to DID resolution, and also secure data store. Now, reports do have an end state, and we want to publish these reports and use them as a concrete work item. And those contain commentary, as we'll see a few examples of notes about things, and of course specifications. Typically, a note I'll make about specifications is that typically we like to see them around data formats and interfaces. Those are very easy to understand, and they're easier to get going with instead of trying to specify a process or implying an architecture that people have to adopt. So the general work item process review, and this was taken straight from the process document that the previous chairs had put together. You propose something, anything. Anyone can propose something. You just have to join the group and accept the IPR agreement. That is so that your work is available for everyone. And we have the legal precedent and licenses for that. It's kind of an informal process of just letting the community know. Sending it to the mailing list is a great way to solicit interest. And as demonstration of that, we request at least two work item owners. The chairs determine if it's appropriate, no principled objections. You know, maybe there's something significantly horrible with respect to privacy or something else, or maybe there's some deep bias inside the work that it doesn't follow our community guidelines. But it usually I don't think we had to reject any kind of work items to date, at least since this year, where I'm privy to. And basically, depending on if it's an ongoing or report, there are two different ways to end the process. For report, we do want to have completion as possible in states, but ongoing community drafts can just continue indefinitely so long as there are people there to talk. So just an overview of some CCG work items. Task forces, as Heather went over, for education, DID resolution, secure data store, all very exciting conversation going on in those. Registries, you might sometimes need a registry to refer to things. For example, unless we have pretty well-defined vocabularies for linked data cryptographic suites, it's hard to use them in the LD proof specification. And same thing with security vocab. Having common terms and understanding for our work allows us to duplicate a lot of efforts, and it's frankly the fundamentals of how you can get different specifications to work together. So that's why they're important, and they're kind of like an underlying substrate, a verifiable data registry, if you will. Notes are important too. Sometimes people have thoughts about, okay, maybe you should do it this way, or, hey, what are the security and privacy requirements here, et cetera. These are just, anyone can have a thought, but they have to scope it so that it can become an item that people can collaborate on. And usually these are pretty good precedents to, you know, thinking about industry use cases or the existence of a specification or registry that you find with this work. And then commentary. These are typically in response to something. For a really good example is literally the NIST, the National Institute of Science and Technology, asked for a request for comments on their digital identity guidelines iteration. And they hadn't really considered the decentralized identity ecosystem. So a bunch of folks in this ecosystem decided that, you know, there are ways that you can possibly use verifiable credentials and some other specs in the landscape to solve some of the problems that they're positing and specifically asking for comments on. Any kind of process comments and approaches, you know, those are good candidates for commentary. And of course, we have a lot of these specification drafts. I won't go through all of them. But I picked a few exciting up-and-coming ones. just a hodgepodge of different types, just to kind of give anyone who's new to the group a taste of some of the work items that are upcoming. So I just mentioned the NIST response, the request for comments. There's exciting work going on underway for a universal wallet interoperability spec. If you have a wallet, and we had two sessions about what's in a wallet, and you want to be able to port information from one wallet to another to fulfill the dreams of giving a wallet user a lot of choice in what kind of wallets they want to use, right? This work is very important for that. BBS plus signatures for selective disclosure. I think everyone was really excited last year when I believe Matter had one of the first working implementations of zero knowledge proofs for selective disclosure of credentials, meaning that if you had maybe a main credential with a lot of subfields, could you take some of those subfields and mint a new credential then and there without the issuer in a way that can be traced back to the issuer and is not correlatable, meaning that if you show these over and over again and generate new ones, you know, people can't track who you are or correlate to other data. Global vocabularies for citizenship and traceability. These are brand new over the past 2 to 3 weeks. A lot of the work that was sponsored by the Silicon Valley Innovation Program, it's making its way into becoming more inclusive in terms of getting a more global pair of eyes on them and figuring out, can we come to agreement on those vocabularies starting to edge into these different industries. Citizenship has to do with permanent residency cards, and traceability, I believe, has to do with manufacturing chemical processes. And then a last example I'll give is a verifiable credentials HTTP API. How do we start having interfaces around the processes for verifiable credentials now that we know what they are and what they look like? So I'll hand it back to Heather for, I think, next steps.
Yeah, great. Thanks. Thanks, Wayne. Yeah. So basically, we were put this presentation together kind of for the TPAC audience, but then also for the rest of us too, is you can see a lot of the work that we've been doing in the CCG is about codifying our processes and making it so that other folks can learn from and use them as well. So we'd like to, if you're interested in some of the processes that we use, or some of the practices, please get in touch, especially with the election. We may be having another election, next year when we have a chair vacancy. We have this, like as Wayne was talking about, the Jitsi for the systems, our processes for work items on GitHub. So we have a lot of infrastructure in place that can be leveraged by other organizations so that you can focus on the work, like what Wayne talked about, instead of the operations of something. Next slide. And so we're looking to also collaborate, not just in the operations aspect, but with the work that we're actually doing. So we're happy to present about the work that we're doing in the CCG to your group and to explore other collaboration opportunities with technology standards, processes, and diversity and inclusion. And it might seem like it's a little bit early to be thinking about it, but we are already thinking about succession planning. We are going to be having an upcoming chair vacancy in 2021, and we want to make sure that things are very smooth. Kim has been one of the heavy lifters of a lot of these processes in place. So we are trying to wrap up as much as we can with this and have enough information so we can have a transfer of that knowledge and those processes for whoever is going to be taking over her role next summer. So, it's not too early to be thinking about what is gonna happen when we have this chair vacancy. And I think that that's the end. If you guys have questions, you can take questions now. Kim, I'll hand it back to you to run the queue.
Thank you, Heather, and thank you, Wayne. That was a great overview. And I wanted to check in on the queue real fast to see, are there any questions that have built up? And if, okay, so I don't see anyone right now, but this is a good opportunity to add yourself to the queue. If you have any questions about any work items that we've been doing, or you know, possible future work items, or anything about the content of the slides, just let us know. And I see Juan on the queue. You're up.
Hey, sorry, I was just maybe you said this way and I missed it, but how do we get involved in those specific work items? Is there like a page with links, or do I email someone?
So for the privacy guidelines work item, the reason I pause, I'm not sure about that one specifically. Can someone add yourself to the queue if you're familiar with that work item? Or one of the chairs to just speak up.
Yeah, so in general, all of the work items are listed in the GitHub, and I'll just kind of go back to the slide at this link down here. Sorry, I forgot to mention that. If you click on the work item itself, you'll be taken to the repository, and there will be owners listed there, and they were probably happy to receive your inquiry. But if you have trouble reaching any of the work item owners, or this process is confusing to you, please do email like all the chairs, and we'll definitely help you get started.
I think, okay, so the privacy guidelines, that one was the NIST one, which I think is complete though. So I was just trying to answer that one specifically. But yes, in general, we largely drive the participation through GitHub issues, and then also over the mailing list. But yeah, people are work item owners are generally glad to take your participation. Anyone else have anything? Checking the queue. Okay, I'm not seeing anyone else on the queue right now. Heather and Wayne, I realize that because of all the shenanigans going on at the beginning, you probably felt a little rushed. Was there any part of it that you wanted to sort of go back to and give a little more context to? Heather, I was curious about the survey that you sent with the quotes. I was curious, are there any interesting results from that survey that you sent out that you wanted to talk to?
If you give me a moment, I'll pull that up and look at the notes. And if Wayne has any comments, I'll let him go.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Oh, I have no comments. All you.
Okay. Well, it's not too late to add yourself to the queue. And Heather, if it's don't want to put you on the spot, if it's too inconvenient to pull up now.
Fine. The survey was, I'll just give a little bit of background while I'm trying to pull up the results. The survey kind of was threefold. It was really, I was curious about the kind of feedback we would get on our recent speakers. Because we've kind of broadened some of the speakers. We've really gone out to other groups to bring in speakers, like a different kind of speaker than had presented at the CCG in the past. So I was really curious to see like what kind of feedback people had about that. Did they like that? Did they find some of the presenters good? I know that people really liked Dave Birch, which was a couple weeks ago. And I know that the What's in a Wallet was really well received. But I'm also a researcher, so I like to gather data. And so one of the things was doing the survey, had an opportunity for you to give feedback on the recent speakers, whether you liked them or whether you didn't like them, and then to ask what kind of presenters you might want moving forward. We did get some good suggestions for presenters in moving forward and topics. I'll just answer some of the stuff. Why do you participate in the CCG? Well, it's about the community. It's about to learn about the things that people in the community are thinking about. Someone said it's the Fellowship of the Ring. to keep abreast of developments in the community, to improve capabilities around distributed identities and interoperability. I mean, so we really, the value people get from participation, exposure to a broad set of insights, approaches, and collaboration, empowering belonging, designing the future, secret intel that people might say, knowing about new projects and players. Some of the stuff I already put on the I really like the three C's: context, candidness, and community. I thought that was quite nice. And Kim, I see Tim on the queue. So
sorry about that.
No, that's okay. He just got on there. I've talked enough this meeting. I can let someone else.
Great. Tim, you're up.
Yeah. I just want to ask if there's any like coordinated effort to make sure governments are aware of the good work here. Like we're doing stuff internally with other governments, but it's well worth if we can start thinking about how we may actually coordinate and how we work with other governments on this stuff. So I just wanted to put that out there. They're a huge stakeholder in terms of adopting this.
Right. Yeah. And I think that we're starting to get more traction, mostly through very motivated government officials like yourself. And so it seems like we're building some connections there. But I'm also excited to see what people think we can do to grow that in the future. You know, beyond the specific projects where we've already been building that traction. So thanks for that. And any comments and suggestions along those lines, welcome. And we're at time. And thank you so much to our chairs for presenting. And thanks to all of you for joining today.
Thanks, Kim, for dealing with everything with the challenges with Jitsi today.